Turn with us this evening to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 1, Ezra chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me just say it is good to be here, and I'm glad that it worked out where we could be at home for the Missions Emphasis Sunday. It's always exciting to be in services. We're talking about missions, talking about the Great Commission, and talking about doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. We're very excited about Samuel and Hannah Kim and their two sons coming to Beijing. They're going to come for at least a year to Beijing and work with us there and study Chinese. And though they already speak Korean, they're going to study Chinese. They're going to be going up to the northeast part of China where they speak Korean up there. So he'll be, we speak Chinglish, he'll be speaking Hinglish or Korean, I forget what it's called, but anyway, he'll be doing that up there. As I was sitting on the platform, I was thinking about that in 2007, we had our China Studies program where we bring college students in into China and let them stay there for a month, let them learn what China's like, learn what it's like to be a missionary just on the field, and Samuel was in that group. There was another young man from Korea, Paul, who was there. And I remember about halfway through that month, I went to them and I said, "Now guys, tomorrow for lunch, we're going to a special restaurant." I said, "Brother Ray, what is it?" I said, "We're going to a dog restaurant." Now, as Koreans, they were like, "Ooh, goody, goody." And I said, "Now don't tell the white guys. Don't tell the white guys." And, you know, Koreans and redneck Americans, we like dogs. So we went to that dog restaurant, and we were sitting there, and, I mean, we were enjoying the food, and Samuel and Paul were enjoying that dog soup. It's pretty pricey in Korea and a little cheaper in China, so we were enjoying that. And we had this one young man, Jeremy. I know you remember Jeremy. He was there. He's from Arkansas. Now, he was country. He was really country. And we're about halfway through the meal, and by the way, everything I ordered that day had some form of dog on the plate. And for some reason, my wife felt led not to have that meal with us. I don't know why. But anyway, we were eating the dog there, and Jeremy looks around, and he said, "Brother Ray, I got a question for you." I said, "Well, yeah, Jeremy, what is it?" He said, "I notice in this restaurant all over the place, they got statues of dogs and pictures of dogs. What's going on here?" And I said, "Well, Jeremy, I guess the owner is just a dog fan." "Oh, okay." And he just kept eating. And so I waited a day or 2 days later, and I gathered everybody together. And I said, "Now, a day ago or 2 days ago, whenever it was, when we had that noon meal, everything that we had contained dog meat." And some of the guys are going, the Koreans are going, "Hey, that's great." And I was going, "It was pretty good." And Jeremy, being from Arkansas, said, "Brother Ray, didn't think I'd like dog, but it was pretty good." So Samuel, when I saw you, I thought about Jeremy. I hadn't thought about him in a long time. "Didn't think I'd like dog, but it's pretty good." We want to encourage you, if you have the chance to come and visit us in China, I promise you we'll take you to some of the finest dog restaurants available. I want us to look tonight in Ezra chapter 1. We'll read the first six verses here and just to point out some thoughts, some ideas. I'm going to preach a real deep message tonight. 2 points, really deep. Really simple, really, and some things that I think will help us and encourage us in this matter of missions. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Let me ask if you would to please stand together with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." Now, what's going on here is you have this Gentile king who is being moved by the Spirit of God, moved by Jehovah God, to allow those Jews who have been part of that Babylonian captivity to go back to Jerusalem and to build the house of God, to build the temple of God. So we see the king standing before his dominion and saying, God, the God of heaven, the true God of heaven, the only God, has moved on my heart, and he has allowed me to be in this position so that you could go back and you could build the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, this is verse number 3. The Bible says, who is there among you of all his people? He asked that question. His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites and all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. I want to preach on this subject tonight. It's very simple. We won't be long tonight. Two types of people that we want to see here. Some go, and some stay. That's that simple. Some go, and some stay. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to hear about these various works that these men are and their families are involved in. And Father, we thank you that we're able to have part in these works, and that as a church we can give and we can pray, and Lord, we can be a part of these various ministries. We're thankful for that. Now, Father, we pray that as we look into the Word of God this evening, that the Spirit of God will be our teacher and our guide into the truth of the Word of God, that we may understand how we ought to be, how we ought to behave, and what we ought to do. Now, Father, we ask that you'd bless your Word now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we said, the king said, God has moved my heart, and God wants me to build his temple there in Jerusalem. And then he says, who among you is willing to go? And the Bible says that there was a group of them that went. And then he goes on to talk about in the verses below that those who stayed behind had a specific job, had a specific duty as well. God made it clear that he wanted a work to be done in Jerusalem. He made it clear to the king. He made it clear to the people. Everyone knew that God wanted to do something in Jerusalem. Now, the king said that in order to do this work, there were two types of people. May I suggest to you that all of us here tonight understand that God has a work that he wants to do on this earth. We use the term missions. We have this Missions Emphasis Sunday where we're emphasizing worldwide evangelization. And we understand that God wants to do a work, not just in Jerusalem, but literally around the world. And just as in that day, there were two groups of people or two types of people, some that go and some that stay, we find in this great endeavor that God has today, the same is true. There are some that go, and there's some that stay. In verse number 3, he lists those types of people. He says that first group are those that go. In verse number 4, he lists the second type of people. He says those are the people that stay. Now understand something. In order to accomplish God's work, in order to accomplish God's plan, it is imperative that these two type of people know who they are and know exactly what they're supposed to do. If either one of them is in the wrong place, you've got problems. If those who are supposed to go stay, you got problems. And if those that are supposed to stay go, you've got problems. So he says here that these two groups are very clear, very special, those that go, those that stay. Now, I understand that this is talking about a specific job, the building of the temple, but I found throughout the Word of God that whenever God gets ready to do a great work, that we still find this principle to be true. There are always two types of people. There are people that go and there are people that stay. This is a principle that we find in the Old Testament. It's a principle that we find in the New Testament. Here the book of Ezra very clearly shows that to us. We could look in the book of Judges and we could see about Gideon and the army that God prepared, and God continued to whittle it down and whittle it down and whittle it down. He says there's a group that goes and there's a group that stays. We could see in the time of David, when David went out to war, that there was a group that went out with him, but there was also a group that stayed by the stuff. And by the way, when they divided the spoils, those that went and those that stayed received an equal reward. We also see whenever Israel went to battle that many times, very clearly, they would say there's a group that would go and there's a group that would stay. We see that principle in the Old Testament. We see the principle in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," that's Stephen, "and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem." I want you to notice this. "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Understand something. There was a group that went, and there was a group that stayed. In Acts chapter 13, we don't have time to look at the passage tonight, but the Bible says that there in the church at Antioch, as they were praying, as they were fasting, as they were seeking the face of the Lord, trying to find God's will for their lives, that God very clearly said, "I want you to send out Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do." And the Bible says that when they prayed and fasted, they laid hands upon them and they sent them out. Guess what? There was a group that went and there was a group that stayed. In Romans chapter 15, the Bible says, "Whensoever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying that I'm going and I need you to bring me on my way, but understand that you're going to be staying. Let's look on. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." What was he saying? I'm going to go, and you're going to stay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 16. The Apostle Paul says, "And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea." What he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to go, and understand you're going to stay, and I'm going to be brought on my way by you. I'm going, you're staying, we're working together to do the work of God. 3 John, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." Now what's he saying? He's saying, hey, there's some that are going to go, and there's some that are going to stay. We see this principle in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Now, from this passage of Scripture in Ezra, I want to just notice some things about these two groups. First of all, those that go. Look back in Ezra chapter 1, look in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Notice something here, what he's saying. In verse number 3, he's saying, let him go. The idea is, for those who go, first, there must be a willing heart. For those who go, First, there must be a willing heart. I've heard people say, I didn't want to go, but God just kicked me in the seat of the britches and made me go. That's not how God works. God wants to send those who have a willing heart. And we see here that the king said before all the people, hey, if there's any of you here who in your heart and in your soul and in your very being are willing to go, hey, let him go. So the first characteristic or the first requirement for those who go is a willing heart. Notice the words that are used here. It's the idea that, hey, are you willing to go? Who wants to go for their God? Understand something. God is looking for vessels that he can use. He wants us to be willing to go and serve him. He wants us to be willing to go and serve him. He wants people that are willing to go and do his work. All of our service for God must come out of a willing heart. The king asked, who has a willing heart? Who's willing to do the work of God? May I suggest to you this evening that our God in heaven is asking tonight, who is willing to go? I want you to notice something else about this. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests of the Levites. Notice this phrase here. With all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. The second thing I want you to notice is this, and this is very important. Not only must there be a willing heart, but secondly, there must be the choosing by God. There must be the choosing by God. Understand something. The king says, hey, who has a willing heart? But in verse number 5, we see that the Spirit of God had moved in the hearts of these people. Not everybody said, I will go, but not everybody who said, I am willing to go, was chosen to go. Understand something. Just a willing heart is not enough. Now, God wants us to have a willing heart. I'll be honest with you. I get sick and tired of people who cheapen the call of God. I believe we ought to have a willing heart. I believe that we ought to volunteer. But I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody who has a willing heart and volunteers is chosen by God. Matter of fact, I've met some of them. I want to tell them, you need to go back home. They don't have the gifts. They don't have the evidences of the calling of God and the hand of God on their life. These who go must be chosen by God. Recently, Benjamin and I were in a missions conference with a couple, and I'm convinced, and I think Benjamin is too, I'm convinced that his wife has called him to China. I believe that. You say, why is that? He's an MK, grew up in Africa. He has a heart for African people. He speaks fluent French. But his wife spent a semester in China teaching, and she's starry-eyed about China, and all of a sudden now they're called to China. I start talking to him about China, and he says, you know, Brother Ray, I'm thinking about going down to southern China because I know there are a lot of African exchange students that come there, and I can work with them. You know what I want to say? I didn't, Pastor. What I want to say is, you moron, why don't you just go to Africa and work with Africans? If that's where your heart is at, if that's how God is directing you, if that's how God is calling you, don't go to China to work with Africans. China just doesn't kind of go together, does it? There has to be a willing heart, but understand something. There has to be the call of God. God, by the Holy Spirit of God, spoke to the hearts of those that were willing, and from that group, he called out a group to go to Jerusalem and build his temple. Yes, we ought to volunteer. Yes, we ought to say, Lord, here am I, send me. But we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God that God in his sovereignty will choose those who are to go. The third thing I want you to notice here. I really don't like to say this, but it's the truth. It's just how it is. Not only must there be a willing heart, not only must they be chosen by God, but the third thing, and I'm embarrassed by this, but those that go are usually the ones who get all the press, if you would, or who get all the praise. Now, we're not going to take time to look at this, but if you turn to chapter 2, beginning in verse 2 and going all the way through verse 63, you have a list of the names of those people who went. You don't have one name of someone who stayed. So what's your point, Brother Ray? The point is, we tend to emphasize those who go. And we hold them up, and we talk about being heroes. I'm in churches. They said, boy, we've got heroes here. And I'm looking around. Where are they, man? I want to meet them. He says, Brother Ray's a hero. I'm like, me? I'm not a hero. I'm just doing what God has asked me to do, to go. But we tend to get the press. We tend to get the praise. Right or wrong, that's just how it is. And sometimes people are allured by that to want to go. Okay? So we see group number one, those that go. I told you it was deep. Okay? Now, group number two, those that stay. Look in verse number four, back in Ezra chapter one. Notice what he says there. The Bible says, and whosoever remaineth in any place, so if they remain, it means they're staying, right? Okay. Whosoever remaineth in any place, they're staying. They're going to stay behind. There were hundreds of thousands of Jews living in the Babylonian captivity. I've done a search. I can't find anybody who can agree on number other than to say hundreds of thousands, perhaps upwards of a million people, a million Jews living in the Babylonian captivity. Out of that, only a small group went back to Jerusalem. Only a small group went. The vast majority of the Jews in Babylon remained. Now understand something. Those that stayed were sure that God didn't want them to go. So what do you mean? I mean, they understood that they needed to have a willing heart. But they also understood that in order to go, they had to have the call of God on their lives. The Spirit of God had to move them, as we saw in the verse just a moment ago. And they willingly offered, they willingly waited upon the Lord, but when everything is said and done, in their heart of hearts, they knew God did not want them to go. Let me tell you something. If you stay, make sure first that God doesn't want you to go. That's important. Now, when you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God doesn't want you to stay, that God doesn't want you to go, stay, put down some roots. And whosoever remaineth in his place where he sojourneth. He's talking about in that place, just stay there. And understand something. We also see that those that stayed understood what their responsibilities were. I want you to understand this. They didn't just send off those who were to go and said, we're done with that. We've got no responsibility. Verse number 6 tells us what they did. It says, and all that were about them strengthened their hands. You see, if you're not one who goes, if you're sure in your heart of hearts that God wants you to stay, then your job is to strengthen the hands of those that go. That's very clear. Now, how do you strengthen their hands? Well, let me just say this as an aside. Those that stayed were not inferior. We need to understand that. Those who stayed were not inferior. Sometimes we want to have two tiers, two levels. We got, you know, your average Joe and those who go, and whoo, boy, there's a vast difference. I want you to notice something. In this whole passage, in this whole book of the Bible, you don't find them being criticized for staying. They understood that their part was not to go, their part was to stay and to strengthen the hands of those who go, and in doing that, they were fulfilling the will of God. And there's no need to be ashamed. There's no need to feel like that I am somewhat inferior because of that. By the way, many times we tend to give that feeling. We try to impress upon folks, well, I'm going, and you're not. Na, 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 you know? But it's not that way. As a matter of fact, I know men that have been, quote unquote, called into the ministry because they were shamed, falsely, by the way. Hey, they're not inferior. The king didn't fuss at them. Their leadership didn't fuss at them. They said, hey, if God's put it in your heart and God's stirred your heart and God's called you, go. If not, stay and strengthen those who go. Those that stayed served as a support role. Verse 6, we just saw, they strengthened their hands. Now, there are a lot of ways that we can strengthen the hands of missionaries, of those who go. We can strengthen their hands by praying. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, helping together by prayer. I want you to understand something. We often have a misunderstood concept of prayer. We have the idea of, well, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, I'm sorry, all I can do is pray. Thank God you can pray. Thank God that you can storm heaven and you can pray down help for us because we need it. They weren't inferior. They served in a support role. Now here's something, and this can be kind of tender for some folks. Those that stayed funded the work of those that went. Those that stayed funded the work. You say, what does that mean? That's a big word. It means they paid for it. They paid so that they could go. Now, notice what it says in verse number 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beast, beside the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Verse 6, and all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. You see, not only do we serve in a support role as helping together by prayer, but we serve in a support role by giving. We've talked today, I know in the various Sunday school classes, Pastor preached on it this morning, about faith promised giving, about giving a tithe and going beyond the tithe and giving an offering and going beyond the offering and giving in the faith promise offering so that missionaries can go. Why do we say that? Because the Bible is very clear about this. Some go, and some stay. And it's not a shame to stay. It's not a second-class citizen to stay. But as we go, we understand what our responsibilities are. But as we stay, we need to understand as well, we've got to support those who go through our prayers. We've got to support those who go through our giving. Understand something. Those that stayed found their place of service at home. All right, let's, if we would, for just a moment, let's go back to that day. The king says, God's laid on my heart to build the temple in Jerusalem. If God has put it on your heart, if you're willing to go and God's called you, we want you to go. And so they are gathered together and he says, hey, let's give. Those who are staying, let's give and let's get all this money together and let's get all the provisions together. And boy, they had a big sending service and it was hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're sending them out. And they go. That was on Sunday. On Monday, those who stayed, you know what they did? They got up and went to work. You say, that's not very exciting. Nope. But that's what they did. You see, they found their place of service at home. They recognized that the greatest way that they could serve and the greatest way that they could support was through prayer and through working and through receiving that salary at work and taking a portion of it and setting it aside so those could go. They didn't leave their jobs. They served at home. They didn't spend all their time sitting around just praying for those who went. They worked. And they raised their families. And they were involved in their church. And they had their ministry in their church, and they worked, and they were involved with their family, and they were involved in their church, and they worked. And it was a cycle. But it was support. Understand something. God in heaven, if they were doing what God wanted them to do, was just as pleased with those who stayed as he was with those who went. They didn't become hermits. They didn't take a vow of poverty. What did they do? They got up every morning. They went to work. As God gave opportunity, they spoke to their co-workers about Christ. They made money. They got married. They made money. They had children. They made money. They worked in their local churches. They made money. They served the Lord in their day-to-day lives. They made money, and they served in the local church. You say, Brother Ray, I hear a recurring theme there. Oh, yeah. Why? Because those who stay must fund those who go. Now, those who go, we've got to fund as well, but those who stay, they have to fund those who go. That doesn't happen by sitting around and twiddling our thumbs. It doesn't happen by just saying, okay, sera, sera, we have to be focused. Hey, God doesn't want me to go, so as a member of Bethel Baptist Church, I'm going to get involved in the ministry here. I'm going to work in my Sunday school class. If God lets me, I'm going to work on a bus route. I'm going to be involved in the soul winning. I'm going to be involved in prayer. I'm going to be there every time the doors are open. I'm going to do all that I can. I'm going to invite people to church. I'm going to tell my coworkers about Christ. And I'm going to work my job and invest myself not only in my church but in my job so that I have the funds so that I can fund those that go. And that's what they did over and over and over again. Now why? Why did they give? Why did they fund? Because every day they were reminded, they remembered those folks that used to be in their midst, but who had went, who had gone. Because they remembered that God wanted them to stay. And they were okay with that. And as they stayed, they were striving to be a part of the plan of God, not only where they were at, but around the world. Why? Because they remembered that everything that they did for the glory of God. When you go into work tomorrow, when you punch that clock or you go into work, you're doing it for the glory of God. If God has called you to stay, if God has led you to stay, all that you do, whether it be quote-unquote secular or quote-unquote spiritual, is for the glory of God. They remembered that the reason that God had blessed them and the reason that God had prospered them was not so that they could have a life of ease and retire early and never have another care in the world, but the reason that God had blessed them and that God had prospered them financially so it was so that they could give. So that people could go. So that people could hear. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 5, we have the story of the maniac of Gadara, the man who was filled with demons, and Jesus cast the demons out. Verse 18 says, "And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, that he might be with him." He said, "Lord, I want to go with you. You're going to go around and you're going to preach and you're going to witness. You're going to tell about you. I want to go with you." Verse 19 says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." You know what he did? Verse 20. "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." To stay, if that's what God wants you to do, is a glorious thing. To stay is an opportunity in your day-to-day life to glorify God. And in your day-to-day life to be a support for those that go. The interesting thing about staying and going is this. Whether you stay or whether you go, you're still viewed by God as doing His work if you fulfill your responsibilities. Whether you stay or whether you go, you're still singled out by God to receive eternal rewards. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 36, last part of that verse. He said that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Sometimes those that stay are sowing of their material blessings so that folks may go and sow the word, that a harvest might be reaped. And when that happens, the sowing and the reaping both receive reward. My question tonight is very simple. Which does God want you to do? If God wants you to go, go. Get busy. Begin that process. I realize sometimes we can't drop everything all at once, but let's begin the process of getting ourselves free of those things that keep us from going. By the way, I don't think it'll take 20 years either. God wants us to go. Let's go. Don't get entangled with this world. Don't tarry and wait for a better time. Get busy going. Does God want you to go? Number two, does God want you to stay? If He does, stay. Don't be worrying about not being the one going to the mission field. Don't feel ashamed or feel that you're somehow inferior. Understand your part in the plan of God. If God wants you to stay, get busy staying. How do you do that? By helping those that go. And by working your head off in this work right here. And God will be pleased with that. If He wants you to go, go. If He wants you to stay, stay. Now the question is, what does He want for you? I can't tell you. Pastor won't tell you. But the God of heaven will. And the Spirit of God will let you know very clearly. And if He says to you, go, understand that the hand of God will be upon you and the presence of God will go with you. But if He says to you, stay, hold your head up and say, I've got a mission. I've got to be in the support of those that go, and I'm going to serve God right here in this place. And watch the rewards come in because of your faithfulness. Stay or go? That's the choice. Which does God want you to do? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, please bless these simple thoughts tonight. Lord, I recognize that not everybody is supposed to go. But I also recognize not everybody's supposed to stay. Show us clearly if we're to go or if we're to stay. And then help us to be faithful to do that which You've led us to do. Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time now, we pray. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together, Pastor.